You're listening to This Week on Developer Works for January 9th, 2007. I'm Scott Lanningham, and we're IBM's technical resource for developers with tools, code, and education on IBM products and open standards technology. Today, we'll hear from both Nathan Harrington about his latest computing novelty and from Belgium-based writer and consultant Benoit Marchal about his recent article on XML parsing fundamentals. But first, here are the DeveloperWorks homepage feature and highlights this week, which you can find at ibm.com/developerworks. The feature is from the XML zone, a new entry in the XML Matters column. Ajax Trade-Offs looks at choosing the best way to encode your data for your application. For the highlights from the information management zone, a piece on developing a project to access your U2 data using a PHP data objects driver. From the open source projects zone, the Geronimo Renegade Web 2.0 report card. From the WebSphere zone, best practices for IBM Workplace Web Content Management v6. From the Java Technology Zone, a Crossing Borders column entry on the topic of closures. From the Web Development Zone, we have finite state machines in JavaScript, design a widget. And finally, another from the Open Source Projects Zone, Whistle While You Work. We'll talk to the author of that piece next. All that new content is highlighted this week on our homepage at ibm.com/developerworks. Next, Nathan Harrington, our resident Thomas Edison around here, joins us for a look at his latest computing novelty. Nathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Have a nice break over the holidays?
Yep, 2007 is going great.
That's cool. In the past months, now we've heard from you regarding how to generate commands through knocking on a laptop, how to detect user frustration through shake monitoring, and then the one about how to get your PC to perform music to inform you of its operating status. All cool pieces. Tell us what you have this time in that new article in the Open Source Zone.
Well, it's called Whistle While You Work to Run Commands on Your Computer. It uses the SoundPeak open source program and a Perl script to recognize specific tonal phrases that you can whistle, hum, or sing at your computer.
Now, that's cool. Do you have to be a very good whistler or just average?
Well, it's tunable. If you need more practice at the karaoke bar, you can modify your parameters to more loosely recognize your frequency that you emit as well as the time at which you emit it. So you can whistle Mary Had a Little Lamb and have it match Shave and a Haircut if you really want.
Now tell me about this. Obviously sounds like fun, but tell me about the practical potential use of something like this. What did you envision?
Well, if you're a big keyboard user like me, you want to be able to raise and lower your windows without moving your hands from the home position. So you can type in one window while modifying your desktop with low whistles to raise windows and double high whistles to iconify them, bringing forward and back different windows while still typing in your standard editor window.
Now, I can imagine this would be fun, and it can also be, you know, people might take things the wrong way if you're whistling in your cubicle and people next to you are wondering what's going on, right?
Yeah, sure. If you're trying to check your email with a simple two-note sequence, they may consider that a bit defensive.
And all that's needed, I would assume, is some kind of a simple stick microphone, USB mic, or if there's one built into a laptop, that will suffice?
That's right. The SoundPeak program is automatically set up to capture your audio input and provide some heavy-duty frequency analysis quickly that the Perl script then uses to detect notes and the spacing in between those notes.
Can you give me an example of a couple of whistle commands?
Sure. I mean, anything you can think of, but for example, if you do something like on my computer, that's the roll-off frequency is about 25 there. So that is computed by the Perl script program as matching one of the commands you have. You set it up to iconify your specific external window you're looking for, and there it goes. I mean, you give it your two low whistles like that, the window is iconified. If you give it a high whistle, like, it brings it back to the foreground. It also works on Windows. If you use your Windows shell scripts, you can iconify and raise windows as well.
You have a nice tone, by the way. I think you have a lot of potential as a whistler.
Well, I practiced those a bunch of times, that's for sure.
Well, so what's next? What have you got in mind for another novelty down the road here?
Coming up next is the email notification mixer. Instead of a simple ding when your email comes in, you'll get a ding-dong whoosh to let you know it's from Nate at IBM, or a bell parrot crash mixed together, cross-faded to let you know it's from the financial department and it's your pay stub.
Very cool. And when will that be coming out, you think?
Probably in about a month.
Well, we'll have you back on to talk about that one, hopefully.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks for your time, Nathan. Always good to be in touch.
Thank you.
Again, that was IBM IT specialist Nathan Harrington on his new article, Whistle While You Work, which you'll find in the Open Source Projects Zone on DeveloperWorks. Next, writer and consultant Benoit Marchal joins us from Namur, Belgium, for a quick chat about his new working XML column entry, Understand the Various Approaches to XML Parsing. Benoit, thanks for coming on.
Hello, Scott. Thanks for inviting me.
Good talking to you again.
Good.
Now, tell me, what prompted you to write this article? Did it have something to do with a sense in your work that some XML fundamentals are being overlooked a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I consult a lot and I train people a lot. And you talk to all these developers and all the novelties like RSS or whatever, which are great by all means. That's fantastic to, you know, learn about the new things. But many of those developers, they know about the latest thing, and sometimes they miss on the fundamentals. And that the result is you get software that's not as good as possible because they try tricks, etc., for things that have been solved 5 years ago.
Right.
So it was really about saying, okay, don't reinvent the wheels. Many of those basics issues have been solved 5-6 years ago, and you can just look those things up, and it will save a lot of time, save a lot of frustration.
What are the problems that come up from neglect of the fundamentals in regard to parsing? What happens when that's not taken care of properly?
Okay, parsing is the very fundamental thing. It's the first thing you do with an XML file. Anything that you want to do to an XML file, be it converted to HTML, PDF, importing in a database, anything, you have to parse the file first. And if you don't use proper parsing, then you may end up missing some of the syntax of XML. And the result is you get incompatibilities. So things that you should be able to read, your software doesn't read properly. And that means that you may get a file and the file, you know, breaks your software or you have problems reading certain files. And that really kills the whole idea of having a standard file format. Because if you can't read the standard, if you read just your own version of the standard, then, you know, why use a standard at all?
Right.
So it really is about why you use a standard. And you use a standard because you want to be compatible with as many tools as possible. But that means you must get the fundamentals right.
Okay, so the idea here then with the article is to give a high-level sense of the importance of parsing and maybe the basic options that one chooses from. Is that right?
That's right. And also it's about reminding people of those things because very little thing is published on parsing today. Most of the resource section contains plenty of great articles, but they were mostly written 2001, 2002, 1999, last century. And people just overlook that because it looks old. So you tend to think it's old, so it mustn't be relevant. Whereas because it's so fundamental and because it was well done in 2001, so there hasn't been any major change. So it's still very relevant. So it was really about saying it's old, but it's still very relevant and pay attention to this.
Cool. A very good article, Benoit. And again, it's Understand the Various Approaches to XML Parsing, and you can find it in the XML Zone on DeveloperWorks. Thanks so much for writing it and for chatting with us about it today, Benoit.
Thanks, Kat. Bye-bye.
Again, that was Benoit Marchal, writer, consultant based in Namur, Belgium, and a regular contributor to DeveloperWorks. Check out our first DeveloperWorks Interviews podcast of 2007 with web luminary Tim O'Reilly, founder of O'Reilly Media. Tim covers a lot in a very interesting 40 minutes broken into two parts. First, Tim maps out the events that led to the hugely successful and widely respected knowledge transfer company that is O'Reilly Media. Then he explains Web 2.0 with the substance you'd expect from the originator of the term. He shares thoughts on the importance of the live software mindset for today's developers, on the creativity-fueling atmosphere of open source, and touches on other hot topics, including the sensor revolution and real-time data collection, and virtual worlds as creativity engines. Please check that one out on our podcast page at ibm.com/developerworks/podcast or on one of the many popular podcast portals. That's it for this week. For everyone at DeveloperWorks, I'm Scott Lanningham. Talk to you next time.